Good morning, it's 9 o'clock. I'll call the meeting to order. We have Daniel, Marie, Jenny, Kirby, and myself chairing, along with Clarissa Santiago and Kristen Hooker. We can get started. Any changes to the agenda?
No.
Okay, looking for a motion.
Can you help her with that?
Looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is. Are we adding this, Jenny, then, to your agenda? No, we're not adding? Okay. So just adopt the agenda as is?
Mm-hmm. So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Jenny, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Looking for approval of the minutes of April 7th, 2021 of the LOC meeting and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Jenny, seconded by Marie. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Current business, election law emergency amendments.
This item starts on page 3 of your packet. At the March 24th, 2021 Business Committee meeting, the Oneida Election Board submitted a memo requesting that the Business Committee make emergency amendments to the election law due to the nation's public health state of emergency. So the Election Board provided that the 2021 Special Election Caucus was scheduled for May 8th, 2021, with the special election scheduled for July 10th. The Election Board shared concerns that the nation's public health state of emergency would be effective until at least May 12th, meaning that the corresponding emergency declarations, such as the Stay Safer at Home Declaration, which prohibits all public and private gatherings of more than 20 people that are not part of a single household, would remain in effect and the membership is advised to stay home and social distance. So in an effort to avoid large gatherings of members where COVID-19 could be easily spread, the Election Board identified that conducting a caucus or requiring applicants to obtain 10 signatures through the petition process would unnecessarily spread COVID-19 by encouraging contact between individuals. So the Election Board sought emergency amendments to the election law to address these issues in a similar fashion to the emergency amendments that were made to the election law during the 2020 general election through the adoption of resolutions BC3-1720B, BC5-1320H, and BC6-2420B. So on March 24th, the Business Committee adopted a motion to send this request to the LOC for consideration. On April 7th, the LOC added the election law emergency amendments to the active files list. So the emergency amendments to the election law will eliminate the caucus from the election process, require an individual to submit an application in order to have his or her name placed on the ballot for an election, eliminate the requirement for an individual to obtain at least 10 signatures of qualified voters when submitting an application to be placed on the ballot, require that all applications be submitted to the Business Committee Support Office by the close of business on the application deadline established by the Election Board. It will reduce the number of Election Board members who are required to sign the election totals on machines counted ballots from 6 to 3. It will clarify that elections shall be held at an Oneida Nation facility instead of just in an Oneida Nation facility. And it will also eliminate the requirement that referendum questions be submitted in writing at the caucus and instead allow for referendum questions to be submitted in writing to the Business Committee Support Office by the deadline established by the Election Board. So the Oneida Business Committee can temporarily enact legislation when legislation is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, or general welfare of the reservation population, and an amendment of the legislation is required sooner than would be possible than under the Legislative Procedures Act. So the emergency amendments to this law are necessary for the preservation of the public health, safety, and general welfare of the reservation population. The emergency amendments are needed to protect the reservation population against the public health crisis that is the COVID-19 pandemic. So the elimination of the requirement to hold a caucus while allowing individuals to be placed on the ballot through submission of an application, in conjunction with the elimination of the requirement to obtain at least 10 signatures from qualified voters, will eliminate any unnecessary contact between individuals which could spread COVID-19, while also ensuring that the July 2021 special election can occur without interruption. Observance of the requirements under the Legislative Procedures Act for the adoption of these amendments would be contrary to public interest. So the caucus is scheduled to be held on May 8th. The law currently requires that caucuses occur at least 45 days before a special election. The 2021 special election is scheduled to be held on July 10th, so therefore the process and requirements of the LPA cannot be completed in time to ensure that the 2021 special election could occur uninterrupted without violating the caucus procedures currently contained in the law. So the emergency amendments to the law will become effective immediately upon adoption by the business committee, and they'll remain in effect for 6 months. There's one opportunity to extend the emergency amendments for an additional 6 month period. So the information I just provided is summarized in the adoption memo, which is found on page 4 of your packet. The adoption memo is followed by the resolution on page 6. So the Legislative Procedures Act requires that all legislation of the nation is adopted through a resolution. The resolution summarizes the amendments that are being proposed and highlights that the requirements of the Legislative Procedures Act has been met. Then on page 8, you'll see the statement of effect. So a statement of effect explains the impacts or conflicts adoption of a resolution would have on the nation. So this statement of effect identifies that the adoption of the resolution would not conflict with any of the nation's laws. On page 10, you will find the legislative analysis. So the legislative analysis is a plain language analysis describing the important features of the legislation being considered and factual information to enable the LOC to make informed decisions regarding legislation. Then on page 18 of your packet, you'll find the redlined current draft of the proposed amendments. So this redlined draft is used to demonstrate all the revisions that are being proposed from the current version. And then on page 33 of your packet is the clean draft. So the clean draft is what the law would look like if the proposed amendments were adopted as is. So the proposed emergency amendments to the election law are now ready to be forwarded to the business committee for consideration of adoption. So we're asking the LOC to consider adopting a motion to approve the election law emergency amendments adoption packet and forward to the United Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Motion been made by Jenny.
Second.
Seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? Kirby.
Mm-hmm. Just in summary, it's this emergency amendment is just so we can have this election that needs to happen like right around the corner. I think in July, and because of our emergency due to COVID, it could disrupt a possible election to happen, right?
Yes, they want to eliminate the portions of the election process that pose a higher risk for the transmittal of COVID-19.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions or comments, Marie?
Thank you, Chairman. Is the verbiage COVID-19 actually in the law?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Moving on to public peace law.
This item starts on page 48 of your packet. So the request for the LOC to develop and adopt a public peace law was originally submitted on December 7th, 2016. So on October 26, 2016, the Oneida Police Commission, in its quarterly report to the Business Committee, made a recommendation to develop a public peace law in an effort to exercise the nation's sovereignty and jurisdiction. So this recommendation was made based on input that was received during a community meeting held in Site 2 by the Police Department and the Housing Authority due to a homicide investigation. So the Business Committee then forwarded this request to the LOC, who originally placed this item on the active files list in December 2016. So the purpose of developing a public peace law was to address community issues such as trespassing, damage to property, noise nuisances, and loitering. On October 7th, 2020, the LOC added the public peace law to its active files list. This item had been carried over from the last two LOC terms. So the LOC was motivated to develop this law after hearing concerns from fellow Oneida Business Committee council members and members of the community regarding issues and problems that are occurring in neighborhoods throughout the reservation. So since that time, the LOC has held 6 work meetings with a group of representatives from the Oneida Police Department, Oneida Law Office, Tribal Action Plan, Comprehensive Housing Division, and the Business Committee to work on the development of the law. So the purpose of the public peace law is to set forth community standards and expectations which preserve the peace, harmony, safety, health, and general welfare of individuals who live within the boundaries of the reservation. It's the policy of the nation to promote peace and order within the boundaries of the reservation while also providing an orderly process for addressing civil infractions that occur. So a draft of the proposed public peace law can be found on page 50 of your packet. The public peace law will delegate jurisdiction to the trial court for any action brought under the law, delegate authority to the Oneida Police Department to investigate complaints involving civil infractions under this law, and issue citations for violations of this law, prohibit a person from committing a civil infraction under this law. The law will provide the various civil infractions, which will include civil infractions against property, civil infractions against the peace, civil infractions against government, civil infractions against the person, civil infractions involving alcohol, tobacco, and drugs, and civil infractions affecting health and safety. The law will also provide that citations for a violation of the law will be processed in accordance with the procedure contained in the nation's citation law. It will also require that an Oneida Police Department officer provide notice to the law office attorney assigned to the Comprehensive Housing Division of any citation issued to an individual located at a property rented or leased through the Comprehensive Housing Division, and that the Oneida Law Office attorney is then vested with the discretion to resolve any housing-related enforcement occurring in accordance with this law. It provides the various penalties to be utilized by the trial court upon a finding that a violation of this law has occurred, including fines, community service, counseling or other programs, restitution, and any other penalty as deemed appropriate by the trial court. So on page 61 of your packet, you'll find the legislative analysis of the proposed public peace law, which again summarizes the law in plain English and provides additional background information on the development of the law and the legislative process. It provides how this law relates to existing legislation. It provides its effects on existing rights and protections and enforcement. So the legislative analysis also highlights under the consideration section that the LOC will need to work with the affected entities to develop a citation schedule resolution that can be presented to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration at the time of the adoption of this law is considered. So we're now asking the LOC to consider the adoption of a motion to approve the public peace law draft and legislative analysis.
Motion been made by Daniel.
Support.
Supported by Kirby Murray.
I have a question. I thought there was a last paragraph that the housing was going to review and look at. Did that happen?
We eliminated that last paragraph, and I worked with the law office to come up with alternative language. So if you look on the red line, because it's a new law, if you look under the penalties section.
Can you tell me what page, please?
Yep, one moment, I'm scrolling. It's on page 59 of your packet, line 411 of the draft starts that section. So like I said, the Oneida Police Department officer is required to provide notice of a citation to the law office attorney. And then we added the language starting on line 418. It states, notwithstanding constraints imposed by any rules promulgated under any laws of the nation governing leases, eviction, and or termination, the Oneida Law Office attorney is vested with the discretion to resolve any housing-related enforcement occurring in accordance with this law to the mutual benefit of all parties involved. If you look at the legislative analysis then on page, 67 of your packet, starting on line 222 of the legislative analysis, it kind of provides some more details about why this provision was being included in the law. So the purpose of this provision is to promote communication, first off, between the police department and the Comprehensive Housing Division, and also to recognize that the Comprehensive Housing Division has its own enforcement mechanisms that, although separate from the process and procedures contained in this law, may be triggered when an individual who they hold a lease or rental agreement with violates the public peace law and receives a citation. So discretion is given to the Comprehensive Housing Division's attorney to resolve housing-related enforcement occurring in accordance with this law, despite any confines of any rules promulgated under relevant housing-related laws, in an effort to provide more flexibility to the Comprehensive Housing Division to resolve the issue to the mutual benefit of all the parties involved. So again, they were asking for more flexibility to get creative so that they have more opportunity to help families and people find an equitable solution.
Okay, and then the citation, I know there was a question about changing that to cite the leasee. or lessee versus the person that's making the disruption?
Yep, let me find where that provision, I know what you're talking about.
Is there a red line copy in here?
There's not a red line because this is the first time a draft is coming to the LOC. We put, if you look on page 55 of your packet, starting on line 250, that's the maintaining a chronic nuisance house. So it was clarified that a person commits the civil infraction for maintaining a chronic nuisance house if he or she has three or more police contacts occurring during a 12-month period at the premises that he or she owns or occupies through a lease or rental agreement. So we adjusted that language to make it a little bit more clear that they have to be the person that is owning or leasing that property in order to receive the citation for maintaining a chronic nuisance house.
Okay, so does it apply to people who don't own the house?
That one wouldn't apply, that specific civil infraction. If you look on line 243, there is just a regular nuisance civil infraction, as well as all the additional civil infractions throughout the law that could be issued to a person if they were causing issues at the home, but they weren't the actual person who's on the lease or owns it. So there's options in the law for how OPD addresses each situation in the hope that OPD would address it based on the specific facts of, you know, each occurrence.
Okay, so after three occurrences, during a 12-month period of the premises he or she owns the occupant. Okay, so they need to do at least three occurrences, three or more police contacts.
Yes, and highlighting that there's been discussion with OPD on discretion. So again, our hopes is that OPD is going to use their discretion, and it's not necessarily always going to be, this is the first three. If they were minor issues, that might not qualify for you for a nuisance house. There's going to be other civil infractions that occur where if you hit three, they're so egregious, then yes, you might get the civil infraction. So it's particularly this civil infraction was giving OPD the opportunity to address some of the more problematic houses that we know exist on the reservation that are having just continuous contact with the police departments.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or good comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. New submissions, pardon and forgiveness law, emergency amendments. Kristen.
Good morning. This item begins on page 71 of the packet. This item became before the LOC per an April 14th, 2021 directive of the United Business Committee to make emergency amendments to the pardon and forgiveness law to allow for hearings on applications for a pardon or a forgiveness to be conducted virtually instead of just in person, as is the only option authorized under the current law. The pardon and forgiveness law was adopted and subsequently amended by resolutions BC 05-2511A and BC 01-2214B, respectively. The purpose of the law is to provide a fair, efficient, and formal process by which a member of the nation may receive a pardon for the conviction of a crime. A member of the nation may receive forgiveness for acts that render him or her ineligible for housing or other benefits through the nation, and a member or non-member of the nation may receive forgiveness for acts that render him or her ineligible to be employed with the nation, receive a nation-issued occupational license, certification, or permit, and or obtain housing or other benefits through the nation. Section 126.4-1 establishes a pardon and forgiveness screening committee to carry out various responsibilities set forth in the law, including but not limited to that it process applications for a pardon or forgiveness, that it conduct as well as preside over hearings on applications for a pardon or a forgiveness, and that it provide formal written recommendations to the United Business Committee on whether to approve or deny a request for a pardon or forgiveness. Currently, the pardon and forgiveness law only allows for hearings on applications for a pardon or forgiveness to be conducted in person. On April 14, 2021, the OBC directed the LOC to amend the law to allow for those hearings to be conducted virtually and to process those amendments on an emergency basis due to the following: that on March 12, 2020, Chairman Tahasi Bill signed a declaration of public health state of emergency due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which sets into place the necessary authority should action need to be taken, and allows the United Nations to seek reimbursement of emergency management actions that may result in unexpected expenses. The United Business Committee has extended this public health state of emergency until May 12, 2021. The United Business Committee can temporarily enact legislation when legislation is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, or general welfare of the reservation population, and the amendment of the legislation is required sooner than it would be possible under the Legislative Procedures Act. A fiscal impact statement and public meeting are not required for emergency legislation. The emergency amendments to this law are necessary for the preservation of the public health, safety, and general welfare of the reservation population. The emergency amendments are needed to protect the reservation population against the public health crisis, that is the COVID-19 pandemic, by allowing the public, the Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee to hold hearings on applications for a pardon or forgiveness virtually instead of just in person, as is currently the only option, will eliminate any unnecessary contact between individuals which could spread the COVID-19 virus while still affording individuals a fair and efficient process guaranteed under the law to seek a pardon or forgiveness from the nation. Additionally, observance of the requirements under the Legislative Procedures Act for the adoption of these amendments would be contrary to public interest. The Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee was just recently placed back into active status through adoption of Resolution BC 1124-20C, and is trying to fill several vacancies that were not allowed to be posted during the period in which the committee was under temporary closure. While in temporary closure status, the committee received 3 applications for a pardon or forgiveness that have yet to be processed or set for hearing. Since the nation's public health state of emergency does not expire until May 12, 2021, and with applications for a pardon or forgiveness already pending, as well as more submissions likely, if the process and requirements of the Legislative Procedure Act cannot be completed in time to ensure applicants receive the fair and efficient avenue required under the law to seek a pardon or forgiveness without unnecessary exposing them and possibly the public to the risks associated with the COVID-19 virus. On page 73 of your packet, you will see the resolution to adopt the emergency amendments to the Pardon and Forgiveness Law. Followed by that, you will see a statement of effect that shows that there will be no conflict between the adoption of these emergency amendments and any other laws of the nation. Then on page 79 of the packet, you will see the legislative analysis to the emergency amendments to the Pardon and Forgiveness Law, which is a plain language analysis of the details of the amendments that are being proposed today. And last, you will see on page, starting on page 86, the redline draft for consideration today, and the significant more material changes you will note begin on page 90 of your packet, line 202, is where the bigger changes were made, and it will now read that the committee shall conduct quarterly hearings on applications for a pardon or forgiveness from the nation in accordance with this law. And it says hearings may be conducted in person or virtually as determined by the committee. A hearing shall take place at a regularly scheduled time and location or virtual platform as determined by the committee, and shall be open to the public to the extent permitted by governing laws of the nation. That the committee shall provide hearing notice as follows. For the applicant, at least 30 calendar days prior to the hearing, the committee shall provide official hearing notice to the applicant by certified mail, the notice of which shall include the date and the time, whether the hearing will be conducted in person or virtually, and the location of a virtual platform for the hearing, and if virtual, instructions on how to access the platform. The remainder of the amendments that you will notice in the redline version are simply to clear up any confusion or simply to reformat it based on the revisions that were made. And then last, in the packet on this item, you will see the clean line or the clean version of the amendments to the Pardon and Forgiveness Law, which is how the law will look if the LOC forwards us on to BC and BC adopts it as is. So at this point, we'll be looking first for a motion from the LOC to add the Pardon and Forgiveness Law Emergency Amendment to the active files and to assign a sponsor.
I can take the sponsor.
Who?
I can take a sponsor.
Jenny?
We'll make a motion then to add the pardon and forgiveness law emergency amendments to the active files list with Jenny Webster as the sponsor.
Second.
Motion made by Jenny, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments?
Question.
Kirby?
One of the things I think how this COVID pandemic is going to affect us going forward and into the future is having these hearings in person or virtually. I mean, now we're seeing that it can be done virtually just because of this pandemic, but I think allowing tribal members that option going forward, you know, for eternity, you know, virtually. So I don't know, this is a an emergency amendment, so it's only for 6 months, right?
It will be for 6 months, but there'll be an opportunity to extend it.
For 6 months.
It could be permanently adopted.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or concerns? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries.
Then we'd also be looking at this time for a motion from the LLC to approve the pardon and forgiveness law amendments emergency adoption packet and to forward it to the United Business Committee for consideration.
So moved.
Motion made by Kirby.
Second.
Seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee bylaw amendments. Kristen.
This item begins on page 102 of the packet, and all you will see in the packet is the actual agenda request form for these amendments to be made. Those supporting materials were passed out this morning as a handout. The materials are being provided as a handout because this item, as well as the emergency amendments to the Pardon and Forgiveness Law, were assigned to the LLC during the business committee's last meeting on April 14, 2021, with the LLC packet due just 2 days after the BC director for the system to not enough time to get both items, along with the supporting materials, including the time for inclusion of the packet. So that is the reason that's been handed out today as opposed to included in the packet. I will highlight the more material changes that are being requested to the Department of Business Screening Committee's bylaws that the OBC directed to be made to these particular bylaws. So if you look at that handout, the red line graph would be the best to follow along with. I will first provide just a brief background on the Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee. It was a committee that was originally established pursuant to the United Pardon Ordinance, the adoption of Resolution BC 0731-0228. The United Pardon Ordinance was later repealed and replaced with the Pardon and Forgiveness Law, which was adopted and subsequently amended. The emergency amendments to the law are being brought before the BC, as you guys just heard, to allow triggering the applications for a pardon or forgiveness to be conducted virtually instead of just in person, as is currently the only option authorized under the law. Bylaws provide a framework for the operation and management of a board community commission of the nation, the government of its members, and the regulation of its affairs. So this item came before the LOC during the same BC meeting as the emergency amendments to the pardon and forgiveness law came, and it was on April 14, 2021, and it directed the LOC to develop amendments to section 1-5A of the committee's bylaws to allow for the alternates identified in subsection 1-5A(1) to contribute to the establishment of the three-member quorum requirement that is set forth in section 3-5 of the bylaws to the same degree as a member of the committee. So beginning on line 48 of the handout, the red line for the handout, you will see that the proposed change now states that unless otherwise stated herein, the four alternates shall be considered members of the Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee with the same responsibilities and powers as the public Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee members, including but not limited to the ability to create a quorum in both under sections 3-5 and 3-7 below. And it also includes the provision that says under sub-day, for purposes hereof, an absent and express statement to the contrary, the term members shall refer collectively to PFSC members and alternates.
There's something Something wrong with your mic. It's not on.
Just hit the button. Yeah, it's got to be something up here.
I'm just loud.
There you go.
Really? Look at that. Just need a little elbow grease. Is that going to affect the record?
Just go ahead.
Could you start over?
I could. If I got paid by the hour. Okay. So after that proposed change, then you will see just a few very minor changes that appear below the bigger change on page 2 of the handout, and that is just simply crossing out the term alternate to avoid any confusion that those that alternates should be treated differently than the actual members. And then on the next page, starting at line 91, there were also changes that were made to the bylaws that would account for the changes that were made to the new amendments to the boards, committees, and commissions law. Since these aren't necessarily being processed as emergency, these amendments are just amendments to the bylaws. The legislative analysis is the only item that would be required to create the packet for the OBC to consider. And so I updated these bylaws to also account for the amendments to the boards, committees, and commissions law. Beginning on line 91, you will see that this item, this area was now changed simply to state that the recommendations for appointments to fill vacancies would occur by a majority vote of the members present at a PFSC meeting, and that the recommendation would occur in accordance with the timeline set forth in the board's committees and commissions law. And then on page 5 of the handout, line 195, simply again are some changes to update these bylaws to now fit with the new amendments to the board's committees and commissions law. So this portion of the board's committees and commissions law was updated to provide for an expanded sign-off authority that the business committee support office has been afforded under the law. This now will be consistent with that portion of the board's committees and commissions law, so there is no longer any conflicts. And then last, on page 6 of the handout, beginning on line 245, I included the provisions that would allow both the emergency meetings and the regular meetings of the committee to occur virtually as well, and not just in person. That was another amendment that was made to the board's committees and commissions law. So this will update the committee's bylaws to be consistent therewith. The other handout that you received was a clean version of the committee's bylaws. That would be how the bylaws would look if adopted as is by the business committee. And last, you will see legislative analysis, which again is just a plain language analysis that provides factual information and explanations that will make it easier for the business committee to consider the item for adoption. As noted, there are no conflicts between the proposed changes to the committee's bylaws and the laws of the nation. So at this time, we would first be looking for a motion from the LOC to add the Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee bylaws amendments to the Active Files list with a sponsor.
I'll take the sponsor for this as well, for the bylaws. Kind of makes sense. So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Jenny, with Jenny being the sponsor. Seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries.
And then last, we would be looking for a motion from the LOC to approve the Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee bylaws amendments draft and legislative analysis and forward to the United Business Committee for consideration.
Second.
Motion made by Kirby, seconded by Marie. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Moving on to petitions, Lori Elm, Real Property Law Eviction and Termination.
So
So on the April 14th, 2021, Business Committee adopted a motion to accept the petition LL, Real Property Law Eviction and Termination. The Business Committee then directed that the Legislative Reference Office complete a statement of effect on this petition. The materials for this petition can be found on the members only portal of the nation's website. So we're looking for a motion from the LOC to add the petition LL, Real Property Law Eviction and Termination, to the active files list with a designated sponsor.
Anybody interested in being the sponsor? If nobody is, I default. Kirby? Okay, Kirby will be the sponsor. So we're looking for a motion to add the petition to the Real Property Law Eviction and Termination to the active files list with Kirby Patoxin as a sponsor. You made the motion? No, Marie made the motion. And Daniel seconded it. Questions or comments? If none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, abstention, motion carries. We're looking for a motion to adjourn at 9:36 a.m.
Second.
Motion made by Daniel, seconded by Marie. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Thank you, everyone.